Welcome to Our View Podcast, where we talk about life, travel, and real estate. Join George and Lisa Hernandez each week as they share insights and parenting tips about their life as a blended family with four teens, their crazy travel and adventures, and get Lisa's pro input about real estate as she juggles it all while still managing her top producing real estate brokerage, View Properties.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to Our View Podcast. I'm Lisa Richard Hernandez.
And I'm George Hernandez.
Today, we are going to tell you all about our trip that the next leg of our cross-country, 45-day cross-country trip. We've just left South Dakota, and we were in Custer State Park, and we headed across country to Yellowstone, and we couldn't get into our spot that we wanted to be in West Yellowstone, so we spent one night in Bozeman Hot Springs, which is, Bozeman's about an hour and 15 minutes outside of the West Gate, and we stayed at a
Bozeman Hot Springs campground and RV park.
Yes, and it was really cool, actually. Bozeman is a cute little town. The resort that we stayed at has like all these hot spring pools, which this is the first time we'd ever experienced the hot springs pools. And they had what, like 14 different pools?
Yeah, they had quite a few pools. I'm not sure if it was quite 14, but there was a lot of them. And they varied in temperature from like 89 degrees to 105.
Yeah, so
it was really cool.
Yeah, they let the water in out every single night, and it's actual like minerals and everything from the hot springs that are supposed to be really, really good for you. So we were there. It was a Saturday night, and due to some sort of religion that they're not open during the day, so they only are open from sunset to sunrise. So they didn't even open until I think it was 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night.
They open from 9 to midnight, and I've got the information here. There's 9 pools, and they range in temperature from 59 degrees to 106 degrees. I guess we missed the cool one.
Yeah, it was a little bit too chilly out for me to be going in a 59-degree pool. There was a couple of pools on the inside, and then there was a bunch on the outside. It was just really pretty. If you look at our Instagram or Facebook pages, you'll see these pictures of, like, they had these walls that surrounded the pool area that all were fire. They were, and they like heated the place up, but it also looked really cool. And then they had like all this uplighting on the plants and the landscaping in different colors. And it's just a really cool atmosphere.
What was weird to me was, did it not feel kind of like a Vegas kind of pool?
Yeah, it really did feel like a Vegas kind of a pool.
Yeah,
but there's no alcohol or anything. But
no.
They did have some music playing. And due to COVID, of course, you know, there's all kinds of restrictions or whatever. But it looked like they had a stage there where they may have like entertainment and stuff like that at some point. So we really enjoyed our little one night stay there. We went to this good little restaurant in town. Do you remember the name of our restaurant? It was a little steakhouse in Bozeman.
No.
Well, it was, we posted it on our Facebook. I just don't remember the name of it. Anyway, so we had a nice steak dinner there, relaxed that night, and didn't eat in the RV, which we had been eating on the road for a long, long time. And we were kind of happy to see a little bit of civilization after we had been in South Dakota, which was very rural where we were. So we got up the next morning and we hit Yellowstone. We hit the ground running, got up early in the morning. We couldn't check into our place. We got there about noon. We stayed at the Grizzly RV Park in West Yellowstone, and really, really nice and great location. For those of you that RV, they're great big pull-through sites, and not really very wide across. So, you know, it wasn't like really rustic like that, but just really nice level spots and nice amenities. A lot of it, again, was closed because of COVID. But I mean, we were like 5 minutes to the west entrance of Yellowstone Park.
Yes, we were within a mile of the west entrance. And as far as for the RV and driving in, it was very nice. It was a straight shot. All their spaces are quite large lengthwise, but like Lisa said, not widthwise. But we were very happy, and it was nice and level. It was easy to level up the RV, and we were ready to go.
Yeah, so we didn't hesitate. We got right on the road, and you know, before you leave to go to Yellowstone, it's really good to do a lot of research. And I did as much research as I possibly could, but there's a couple of things that I wish I really, really would have known before I got there. And although I had printed out the maps, they were really way too tiny to read on a regular 8.5 by 11 paper. And so it was $35 to get into the park for the day, I think.
But that was for the whole week.
Oh, yeah, that was for a week pass. So our whole carload, you know, we took the Jeep, got in there. That was no big deal. But when you get there, they do give you the map. So we had just been to Custer State Park, so we, you know, figured out we need the map. There's no phone service. Don't plan on your GPS working, and do not plan on making cell phone calls, text messages. I have T-Mobile. George has Verizon. None of our phones worked.
Only worked when we got on top of a mountain,
which was very rare.
Very rare.
All of a sudden, I would get ding, 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 and then I'd try to respond to the text messages that came in, and nothing would come. So if it's important to stay in touch with people, I would definitely let them know before you go into Yellowstone Park that you will not be available by phone or text, which, you know, we want to enjoy the scenery anyways. But so they do have some apps that you can download, and I wish I would have done this before we left. But Yellowstone itself has its own app that you can download. It's NPS, like National Park Service Yellowstone. And you download that app, and it works without Wi-Fi. So you literally, of course, download the app before you go into the park, or you won't have the information because you won't be able to download it.
Once you're in the park, it's too late.
Yes. And so one thing that I really, really, really would have loved to have known ahead of time, well, there's a few things on here. When you go to the Yellowstone app, they have what to see. They have self-guided tours. They have road closures, camping, and geyser predictions, different areas, what to do, visitor centers, and that kind of thing, and about wildlife. The thing that was the most important that I wish I would have known about ahead of time were the road closures. I pulled it up today. We've been out of Yellowstone for a few days now. This is our first chance to do our podcast, and I noticed that two major roads are changed, that are closed. So imagine the park map. Imagine it being a big circle, and imagine you're staying in one part of the circle, and you can make it 3/4 of the way around the circle, and you're almost home, but you can't make it because the roads are closed. So you have to backtrack that 3/4 of a circle. That was basically what happened to us when we were touring Yellowstone. The road closures made it so that when we drove to the farthest point, we had to backtrack the whole entire way. So it kind of made for like double the amount of driving.
Yes. And when we're talking about these circles, it took us, for example, one of the circles took us 3 hours to get to the point that we wanted to get to. If we had continued on the circle, we would have probably been home
in another hour,
but we had to backtrack. So what would have been a 4-hour round trip on the circle took us 6 hours to go from one end to the other.
Right. Yeah. And that is like hauling. I mean, we were not taking our time. We really wanted to kind of get an overview of the whole park. We had Tyler and Bailey with us, and I mean, we really, really, we pushed ourselves.
Yeah. I think the learning lesson here is do some pre-reconnaissance and figure out what roads are closed.
And
get
and,
a map.
And map out your stay.
And map out your stay.
That is the best advice I can give you. Speaking of apps, before we really go into all the different places that we went to, when we went to West Grizzly RV Park, they give you a coupon to free download. It's called Just Ahead. It's a Just Ahead app. And we ended up purchasing the app. I think it was $30 for all the parks.
$30 for all the parks for...
I think it was like at least for... I don't know if it's unlimited for a year or whatever. It's the same kind of thing with the app where you download it so that but it still tracks your GPS, but you don't have to... you don't have to have Wi-Fi. And it was a lifesaver and really, really, I think, changed our whole tour of Yellowstone.
Absolutely. I think without that app, we would have missed
a ton.
50% of the park. And it's a self-guided tour, so obviously it's tracking you GPS. And so it knows when you're in the plains. It knows when you're wherever you are. And it'll give you a little story or a little...
Yeah, like just up the road to the right is a turnoff that you can go to, and you'll see beautiful waterfalls and a thing, and here's the history of it, and this will be about 20 minutes extra if you want to take the time to do that. Turn right at the next thing. And, I mean, it was like, wow, that's awesome that we had that information. And
that's what I loved, that it told you about offshoots off of the main road and how long that would add to your trip, which is cool because... Then you decide, okay, no, let's keep going because we want to see this, or let's take it. We took as many as we could, and it was dead on. I mean, the timing was perfect. And it would also tell you whether it would relink with the road that you're on, you know, 2 miles ahead, or whether it circled around and it came back in the same place you went in. So,
yeah, because a lot of those little roads were not on the big map.
One thing I have to say, if I have to say anything negative, is the maps they hand you suck. I mean, like, yeah, there's really no other way to put it. They just suck. It's just a really basic map. I don't even think I guess it had Old Faithful, where the animals are. It had a handful of things on the map. But had it not been for that app, like I said, we would have missed
tons of stuff.
Oh, my God, so much stuff.
It was really cool, too, because not only did it plays off your Bluetooth. So, like, if you've got it on your phone, it plays on the radio in your car. So, and then, like, I think we were listening to music on your phone, and it would, like, the music would turn down. And it would be like, up ahead is, you know,
it was like
Old Faithful
Geyser.
And it would tell you about Old Faithful Geyser, and then the music would come back on. It was really cool. Like, we were like, wow, this is like a really cool trip.
You know what? I just reminded me of if anybody's ever done the Big Red Bus Tour, where it tells you about everything that's going on, and then it says, you can get off here and get back on later.
Yes.
Well, it's kind of the same thing.
It's exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah. You can get off this detour here and get back on the road later.
Yeah. So the Just Ahead app is for all the different national parks, and you can use it for the Grand Canyon and the Grand Tetons. And I wish we would have had it for the Badlands and for Custer State Park and the other places that are on there. A whole huge slew of them. But I highly, highly recommend the Just Ahead app. You can get it, I guess, in your either it's for Android or for iPhone.
And again, well worth the purchase.
Yeah, so let's talk about where we went to when we did finally get in. So we decided to hit, because of the road closures, and I was hoping to get down to the Grand Tetons, but there was actually a forest fire from just past Old Faithful to where you go to go south on the Grand Tetons. So we ended up going to Old Faithful the first day, which Old Faithful, if you don't know, is one of the largest geysers. It erupts just about every 90 minutes or so. It varies from 50 minutes to 127 minutes. The eruptions last for 1.5 to 5 minutes, and it expels around 3,700 to 8,400 gallons of boiling hot water. It gets up to anywhere from 100 to 200 feet, and the temperature of the water that comes out is 170 degrees Fahrenheit. So, it's, you know, there's a big viewing area there that people can stand down around. We decided we were going to be ambitious when we went to go see Old Faithful, and there was, a scenic overlook. So when you get to Old Faithful, they have a list of estimated times of the next eruption. And if you had had the Yellowstone app, you could also find that information there. It'll tell you. Although it's not accurate, like to the You know, it was like, it was supposed to erupt at 5 o'clock. And we're like, all right, it's 5 o'clock. Why is it unerupted? You know, it's nature. So they don't, it's not like they push a button and make it erupt. I think it was like maybe 5:15 that it actually did erupt. So we did a little bit of standing around waiting for it and watching it. But when we got there, there was like an hour until the next.
I think you can gauge it better by the crowd. If there's no people there, that means you just missed it.
Once it starts
getting really crowded, everybody's waiting because it's past its time already.
Yeah. So I guess you could, we're like the kind of, like, I feel like there's two kinds of people when they go visit Disney. It's the people that know how the park works. They're the ones that go like log in at 6 a.m. to get their tickets for all the different special rides that they want and stuff. And then there's people that just show up at the gates and wing it. Well, I feel like we kind of showed up at the gates to wing it, and I wish I would have been one of those Disney travelers that had all these things planned ahead. So had I known this information, I would have been like, no, we need to look on this app and see that the geysers aren't going to erupt for another hour. We can hit something else in the meantime.
Well, we had a very loose schedule plan, whatever you want to call it. But I'd rather do that than feel like I'm on a time restraint.
Well, no, but I think that we could have planned it a little bit better had I had more information. Like, if I had known about the little thing that shows you what time the geysers erupt, I would have looked at that ahead of time and said, hey, let's just go hit the Prismatic Springs before that or whatever.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. So just kind of mapped things out a little bit better and made better use of our time. So we decided to climb 200 feet up to the overlook. It said it was only like a mile. I don't know. It was far.
It was a 200-foot climb in less than a mile. I think it was less than half a mile. It was pretty steep. It got our blood flowing. We got some exercise. It was a great view. What did you think about it before I put in my two cents?
I think that I would rather see it from standing down below, if I was only going to see it erupt one time, which we did only get to see it erupt one time.
Absolutely.
I think the reason would be because if you were down below, you would be able to feel the heat from the water coming, and you'd be able to have a better sense of how big it was. From the scenic overview where we walked up to, you could see it, and it was big, and you could see the little people, but I don't think we really got the full, I guess, feeling of how...
The full magnitude of its power.
Yes. That's a good description. Yes.
Yeah. I'm glad you felt the same way. I felt like we made a mistake doing that. We should have watched it from the ground first and then decided if we wanted to go up. From our vantage point, it was excellent to see. But because of the way the wind was blowing, when it first erupted, it lets out this big cloud of steam, which kind of blew in our direction and blocked a good portion of the actual water shooting out. We got to see it. It was awesome, but it's just, I wouldn't have done it. I would have done it from the ground first and then decided if we wanted to go up, but
yeah.
We got our exercise.
Yeah. And we had so much time to spare that's why we chose to take the walk up there. But we did go to, all of Upper Geyser Basin, saw some of the other smaller geysers that are around there. It's just the whole geothermal volcanic, like the land there is just incredible. And one of the things we thought of while we were there was like, imagine these people that were explorers that just found Yellowstone Park. And just ahead up was really interesting too, because it told us a lot about how it got started and the explorers that found it and the Indian people. The American Indians and explorers that found it would talk about these like boiling waters and you know, eruptions and all this stuff.
And people thought believed them.
Yeah, people thought it was like, you know, ghost stories and like voodoo witchcraft stories, and just none of it was true. But
they also told us about the early explorers and the things they would throw into Old Faithful to see erupt.
Oh, just explorers, but tourists would do
tourists,
that.
Yeah, they don't logs and anything they could throw in there just to see it shoot out of Old Faithful.
Yeah, yeah. So Yellowstone is very protected, all of the things. You can't even take a stone away or anything like that because just so many tourists go through there. Another thing to mention here is parking.
Terrible.
We were fortunate to not have to wait for parking at Old Faithful, which is part of the reason why we went there. And I'm guessing now that I know that the roads were closed past that, if you were not staying at the Westgate, then that would be your farthest place to get to. So that might have been part of the reason why Old Faithful didn't have as long of a parking
thing. Yeah, we lucked out there. But what was the other one that we went
to? Before we went to Old Faithful, we stopped at Grand Prismatic Springs, which is actually really, really cool and beautiful. But we did wait almost 30 minutes for a parking place there. And this is very common from everything I had read at Yellowstone. It's more about waiting in line for parking. I was also very, very surprised at how many C-Class and smaller RVs are driving around the park, like all over the place. There is RV parking. I thought it was hard enough to get a parking spot for the Jeep. I can't imagine driving a C-Class through there, but lots and lots of people.
Yeah, they were all over the roads.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons and tons of RVs on the road. So Grand Prismatic Springs is Yellowstone's largest hot spring. It's 2 to 330 feet in diameter, and it's more than 121 feet deep. It's located between Midway Geyser Basin. Hot springs are the most common hydrothermal features in Yellowstone. Their plumbing has no constrictions. Superheated water cools as it reaches the surface, sinks, and is replaced by hotter water from below. It's pretty cool. It's all different colors. That is one thing that we didn't get to do, is there is an overlook that you can go just past the Grand Prismatic Springs, and you can hike up another 200 feet and see Grand Prismatic from above. And we saw the people up on the ledge, and we were too tired to do it.
The one we should have hiked, we didn't. And the one we shouldn't have hiked, we did.
Yes.
We got it backwards.
Yeah, that probably would have been a more worthwhile hike, would be to hike up to the top of Grand Prismatic and not do the hike at Old Faithful. So if I can give you any advice, I would definitely say to do that one, because it's really beautiful. It's blues and oranges, and I mean, it looks so beautiful. You're like, oh, I wish I could just go jump in there and go swimming. Like, it looks
and
like
that's
the bluest.
That's another thing we talked about, you know, with the early pilgrims and going across, and all of a sudden you run across. I mean, they're beautiful. The color of the water is beautiful, and they just seem so inviting. And we just kept joking around and saying, imagine that first guy that jumped in and just got boiled in front of everybody, and everybody else said, okay, let's not do that again.
Yes, exactly. The hydrothermal features are habitats in which microscopic organisms survive and thrive. They're called thermophiles, thermal for heat and foul for lover. And they're too small to be seen by the naked eye, but trillions are grouped together and appear as masses of color. So that's what makes the different colors in these hot springs.
Yes. And according to our son, he read it somewhere, yellow is
in the hottest water. Yep. Orange, brown, and green grow in the cooler waters. So imagine living in near boiling temperatures and hydrothermal features with alkalinity of baking soda, or in water so acidic that it burns holes in your clothing. Microorganisms in Yellowstone need these extreme environments to survive.
Wow.
Yep. So they say, use caution in hydrothermal areas. Stay on the boardwalk. Hydrothermal water can severely burn you. Never run, push, or shove. Supervise children at all time.
And there were a bunch of them throughout the park. We actually stopped at one that was off the beaten path right next to the little river, the stream. And they're all very well blocked off, so you can't jump in it or hurt yourself. But we were able to put our hand in the water that was going into the stream. And I'll tell you what, that sucker
it
was
burnt my
hot.
Finger. I just it barely, barely touched hot. The tip of my finger. And
so
it was,
they weren't lying.
It was literal boiling water is literally coming out of the ground. It's like the craziest thing. So cool. So we also, I mean, we hit a lot of things that day. We have been so spoiled from when we were in Custer State Park, seeing all of the animals. I think when we dropped the kids off, they were like, that was our favorite day of the whole 2 weeks, was when we were in Custer State Park and saw all the bison and Oh, I mean, we saw so many animals that day.
Well, we saw so many, and they were right next to us.
Yeah, it was in the true wild. It was so cool. So we weren't as fortunate when we were at Yellowstone seeing the animals, but we did end up going through Hayden Valley that night, which is another place to see all the bison when the bison walk on the roads and stuff like that. But we got there. I would definitely say if you're really interested in seeing the wildlife, you need to get up early. You need to be there at like 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning, or they're going to be really far out in the fields. If you want to really see them walking on the roads. And
so on that note, I met some people at one of the hotels that we stayed at, RV parks. It was
when we were in Bozeman.
Yeah. And they told me that the year that they went, they decided to actually sleep in their SUV. They drove out early from their campsite, went to, what was the name of where the animals are?
Hayden Valley.
They went to Hayden Valley.
Lamar Valley.
Pulled over in one of those parking areas. They all slept for a couple of hours with the kids in the SUV and then got up like at 5 o'clock in the morning. And they said, that's the only way to see like masses of animals. They said they woke up and they were surrounded.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's what we did in Custer. That was so cool because I just said, kids, get up. It's going to be just an hour. And then 5 hours later we got home. But I think that, but for us, unfortunately, the way the roads were closed and stuff like that, even though we got up early, it still took us 3 hours to get to Lamar Valley the next
day.
That really
sucked because from where we were to Lamar Valley, if everything was open, should have only been an hour tops. And it took us well over 3 hours to just get there.
Yeah, because we couldn't take the cut through.
Right.
Yeah. So we had to go all the way around the long way. And so, you know, it shows you also on the map, it's a little bit deceiving. You're like, oh, well, it's 20 miles here, 20 miles here, 20 miles here. That's an hour. Well, no. People are driving 35 miles an hour. Like, that's the speed limit. So 20 miles.
Yeah, and the speed limit varies tremendously. There's some areas that go down to like 15 miles an hour. And then, so the park is broken up into loops. And one loop says 20 minutes, and you look at the other loop and you go, oh, okay, that's the same distance, should be 20 minutes. Well, that one could be through the mountains, which is going to take even longer than 20 minutes.
Or we did get stuck in a few bison jams where the bison is literally walking
yes,
down the road.
We actually got that picture of the bison traffic jam, which I thought for me was the highlight of the trip. That I actually got the picture that everybody sees.
Yeah, there's like 25 cars behind this bison just literally walking straight down the road. That was pretty cool.
He didn't care about anything.
Yeah, so we weren't like so thrilled by the bison because we didn't get as much up close
time. Like they were bigger. They were much bigger.
Oh, yeah, they were big.
But just not. We probably just missed it, so don't take us wrong, but there weren't as many as far as we could see, and the variety of animals was not there either. So,
yeah, I mean, supposedly Hayden Valley is one of the best places in the park to view wildlife, and they say they have grizzly bears, black bears that are seen in the spring and early summer, and then large herds of bison, which we did see, but they were way out there, and then coyotes can almost always be seen. Wolves are sometimes seen. Oh, and our Just Ahead app talked about the different wolf packs that inhabit Yellowstone. It was really, really interesting. They're almost like gangs. Wolf packs are almost like gangs. They like travel in packs and they kill each other off and they have their territories and stuff. So that was pretty cool information, although we never actually saw them. And then it got to be, I guess, a little bit too dark for us that first day. So we had to turn around after Hayden Valley. So we never got to see Yellowstone Lake.
No, we had to we had to turn around and head back, and we had to drive back in the dark.
We did see a couple elk, and they are gigantic.
Yeah, they were pretty big.
There was like three elk just sitting in the grass, and you'll see like when there's animals ahead, you'll see these people all pulled over. But I've also noticed, like, there be people pulled over and be like, there's no animals there. Somebody must have pulled over and pointed at something, and then everybody else pulls over.
I wanted to do that so bad. Just pull over in some random spot and start pointing at stuff and see how many cars I could get to stop.
Yeah, I know. That's so funny. So did we go to day two? No, day one. I think we also did the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone. Mm-hmm. We did it after we did Old Faithful. We hiked up 200 miles, or I'm sorry, 200 feet. And then, so we couldn't cut over to Lamar Valley, we decided to hit the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone. And there's a place that you can go to the Lower Falls, and it overlooks the Lower Falls. And it's a 600 foot, so that's 60 flights of stairs. Think of it that way. 60 stories, right? 10 stories each, 600.
Yeah.
So we went down and up, and
down was so easy.
Okay, wait. I was like, we were standing at the top, and I was already tired from the 200 feet that we had hiked it. And, you know, we've been just like on the go all day. And this guy comes up, and he could just tell that we had this, like, I'm not sure if I want to walk all the way down there looks on our faces. And the guy stopped, and he said, listen, I stood exactly where you're standing wondering whether or not it was worth it to walk down the 600 feet. And he said, let me tell you, he goes, then we saw like two big guys that were like clearly out of shape come up, and they said it was worth it. And this guy that was talking to me was, you know, he looked like he was in pretty decent shape. And he's like, trust me, when you get down there, it is worth every single step. I just do it and you'll make it. Don't worry. And I was like, all right, well, that's pretty convincing. So sure enough, we walked down. And I mean, I'm not lying. Every step down the way, I was like, I don't know how I'm ever going to make it back up this hill. And this is crazy. There's nothing that could be worth seeing this far down.
Yeah, it was super steep and like zigzagging down the hill, down the mountain. And, you know, at every turn, we could look down and see all the zigzagging we still had left. And I'm sure Lisa and I, we never said it to each other, but there was probably plenty of times that I know I was thinking, you know what? I'm going back.
We stopped some people halfway there that were sitting on the bench, like taking a breath. And I was like, was it worth it? They're like, oh yeah, you gotta go.
They're dying.
Oh, crap. So I kept on going.
But in the end, it was absolutely worth it.
Breathtaking. We got a ton of pictures, but the photos literally do not do it justice.
There's no way.
It's like seeing the Grand Canyon for the first time.
The real Grand Canyon.
That you just really, you can't really describe.
No,
feeling.
Whoever's been to the Grand Canyon knows what we're talking about. Or anywhere spectacular. You see a million pictures and you think, when you get there, oh, no big deal. And then you get there and you go, wow, pictures do no justice. Well, this is one of those places.
Yeah, and it's like you'd never see it if you hadn't hiked down to that viewpoint of it. And if you really enjoy hiking, like, there's a whole bunch of other hikes that you can do in that area too. I think there's Upper Falls, and it was just an incredible sight. This huge canyon with this giant waterfall running through it, the most crystal clear water. And I mean, it was just huge in the middle of all these trees.
And the overlook is right at the lip of the waterfall. So the water's coming rushing. I mean, it's rushing to the edge of the waterfall. And then it's just this, I mean, what was it? 200 foot waterfall? It
probably had to have been. Something like that, yeah.
And then it just falls down into this beautiful valley that is super green and lush because of all the mist off of the waterfall. And it's just absolutely beautiful. We'll post some pictures. You got to look at them. But again, unless you go and see it for yourself, I don't care how many pictures you look at.
Yeah. Yeah. It says, the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone view of the Lower Falls. Scientists think the oldest Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone formed in rock and sediments is about 160,000 to 140,000 years ago. This canyon was not as deep, wide, or long as today's canyon. Past and current hydrothermal activity altered and weakened the rhyolite, making the rocks softer. The Yellowstone River eroded these weakened rocks to deepen and widen the canyon, a process that continues today. The current canyon begins at the Lower Falls and ends at Tower Fall. Oh, the Tower Falls were also, that was part of the, what part of the park was closed, where the road was closed.
All these road closures really kind of suck.
Yeah. But it was really just an incredible. Oh, and also, you can't see that view till you get to the bitter end of that trail. Because Tyler and Bailey, of course, they ran way ahead of us, you know, in shape. Tyler runs back up and he's like, come on, just wait till you see it. He's like, you have to wait till you come around this curve, you know? And then he was like, ta-da! And I mean, we did. I think we stood there for a good 20 minutes at least, just looking at it.
Yeah, we took a bunch of pictures and just admired the beauty of it. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, and then we hiked up. We did about, thankfully I had my watch on because I really hate when I don't get to do exercise and get credit for it. So we walked about 20,000 steps that day, which is a lot of steps.
A lot of steps.
My watch was very happy with me.
That place is a must see if you go to Yellowstone. Put that on your list.
Yeah.
Old Faithful is must see. I also wanted to throw a little side note on that app. One of the things that we loved about the app was that it told you where, if you're a hiker, Yellowstone is your place.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God. Trails and trails. And it'll tell you this hike is, you know, 18 miles round trip. It'll tell you if you take this trail, it'll take you to the waterfalls. It'll tell you everything. But the thing that I found the funniest was that it told us about one lake and it said, oh, this lake is beautiful. It's a short 3-mile walk, nice and flat, and it's beautiful. The only downside is the horrific horror story mosquitoes that are there.
Straight out of a horror movie.
I mean, that's like, what it literally said.
It was so
and
funny.
Then we hit another segment and it talked about another trail and it also talked about how it's great fly fishing if you have a mosquito net for your head because they are vicious.
And then there's the twin lakes. There's two lakes, and it tells you the story about the two different lakes because you'll often see fishermen at these lakes. Unbeknownst to them, there are no fish in either one of these lakes.
Because of the bacteria, no fish survive there.
Right.
And we drove past it.
5 minutes later, we go drive by a guy with a fish pole.
Two guys walking with their fishing poles like, here we go. Mm-hmm. We're going to catch some fish.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. You know, there's just so many things to see. We can't really talk about all of them. I think that we've kind of touched on the major features. A lot of people spend a good week there. If you like to do hiking and things like that, you know, you could definitely plan a different hike each day.
We definitely did not have enough time, and I don't want to hold anything against Yellowstone because we didn't have enough time. I think next time we come, we'll plan and so we can. So I think there's 5 loops all together that are interconnected that connect Yellowstone. And I think if you do one day per loop, you'll have a great experience. We were trying.
There's only 2 loops. That was the problem. And I'm looking at the map right now, the updated one on the app, because I pulled it up before we started talking. And half of the circle, like there's a giant circle and there's a cut through between the circle and one whole half of the circle is closed. See, look.
Okay, but you got the upper circle, you got a lower circle.
I know, but you can't go all the way around that circle because that road's closed. Go around that circle because that road's closed.
I understand what I'm saying.
Oh, there's 2 circles.
2 or 3 circles. Plan a day per circle. I don't know. Maybe there is only 3. Maybe I'm thinking of Custer. But if you just got to give it time. We didn't. We tried to rush it. We enjoyed it, but, you know, I just think we rushed it too much.
Yeah. And, well, part of the problem was the road's been closed, really. Also, because of the forest fires, it was really hazy. So once we got out of Yellowstone and we got into Washington State, and all of a sudden the sky was clear blue and we could see the mountains and in the distance and the green trees, and we could actually see things. It was like, wow, this is an incredible view. And I was like, had there not been the forest fires at Yellowstone, we probably would have had some more really incredible views there too. I think that we missed out.
Yeah, we definitely missed out on that aspect of it. And when we got to the area where the roads were closed, we could literally see the forest fires. So
there's a lot of really good information about the forest fires. And I was really surprised by the landscape, I guess, being you know, used to the trees that we have even growing up in Michigan and in the mountains of North Carolina. In Yellowstone, it's mostly all pines, pine trees. So it's evergreens. And it's just mountainsides and roads full of evergreens. And the trees, the forest fires actually replenish the whole ecosystem, really, of the park. I mean, the trees die, they fall down, they make kindling at the bottom of this forest, which you'll see them laying there. And then they kind of like burn the whole forest down, and it revitalizes, and the nature needs these forest fires to maintain itself.
Yeah, and we learned all that from the app. And one of the interesting things was, so the last big fire was in 1987 or something like that. And you could see the difference of the trees that have been around pre-87 and the section that burnt down. The trees are tiny compared to the other trees. And, you know, that was a long time ago, and these trees are still very small, in my opinion, for a forest. But one of the things that was interesting was that the pine cones hold the seeds for the trees. And those pine cones are covered in, the inside is, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank right now. Help me out.
The seeds?
Yes, the seeds are embedded in...
in the pine cones.
Yes, but it's a hard material that will only fall apart under a fire that has to exceed 135 degrees.
Yes, they learned that.
Yeah.
A lot of scientific information that...
yeah, and then once the seed is released, then it'll start growing. But I thought that was fascinating.
And it was also pretty cool, like just thinking, you know, we had Tyler and Bailey with us. I think that they really learned a lot just from listening to the app and the experience of it and riding in the car. And things that if we didn't have that app, we would have just been like, eh, pine trees, you know, bunch of them.
Would have all been bored to death.
Yeah, it's true.
Between highlight sections.
Definitely, definitely. So by the second day, we had gotten up super early, did all that driving. We pretty much touched on all the places in the park that we could possibly go to. We went to Mammoth Springs. We didn't even talk about Mammoth Springs. So we did drive down. Because of COVID, a lot of things were closed at Yellowstone. We really had our hearts set on going to the Boiling River, and that was closed, which was a bummer. That's near Mammoth Hot Springs. And if you're there and it's open, you definitely need to try it out and let me know how it was, because it's kind of a hidden thing. If you get into the town of Mammoth, which, by the way, in Mammoth, there is a gas station and there's restrooms that have flushing toilets, and you can get a little bit of phone service there. I did get a few messages in and out in Mammoth. If you continue through Mammoth, probably down this hill, maybe about 5-minute drive is where the Boiling River is supposed to be. Again, it was closed, but the Boiling River is where the hot springs come into the river, and it makes like hot water in this rushing stream, which is pretty cool. It looked like, anyways, in the pictures and all the research I did.
But again, a little heads up would have been nice. Mm-hmm. Luckily, it was only 5 minutes out of our way, but imagine if we would have driven an hour out of our way to go to the hot springs, and then you get there and they're closed.
Yeah. Yes.
Nobody told us that.
Yeah. And I couldn't really find any of those closures really like in the information that they gave us at the park either, which was a little frustrating, I guess. And then, you know, of course, once you're in there, there's no Wi-Fi, so you couldn't even look it up if you had tried. So,
I just figured it out. Sorry.
Oh, resin is on the outside of the seeds for the pine cone.
Yeah, so the inside of the pine cone is packed with resin that will only melt. And chipmunks, squirrels, none of those animals can get to the seed because they can't break through the resin.
Yes. So
I thought that was fascinating. Nature is amazing.
Yes, that is so true. So Mammoth Hot Springs, that was a really another cool place. It's like all white. It almost looked like snow because everything has like burned up, and it's where it like travertine comes up from the earth.
Right. So the travertine mountain that we were on has been building for over, you know, thousands of years. And I think, if I remember correctly, it said that every year it develops or adds 3 inches of travertine to this mountain. And it was beautiful, but it really looked like snow from far away. Even from kind of close, it looked like snow.
Yeah. It looked like you could go sit on the edge of this beautiful, almost like steps, to this blue water that would burn you up.
Again, thinking of the pilgrims, and it says everywhere, be careful, don't walk over here, don't veer off the path because it looks like solid ground, but you could hit a sinkhole and you're done. And I'm thinking, I always think of the first guy walking on there and just, you know, what is, like, you come across that for the first time ever in history. You're going to go and look in the water. You're going to go and touch
it.
And
somebody burned themselves up, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Mammoth Hot Springs, it says, is a network of fractures and fissures form a plumbing system that allows hot water from underground to reach the surface at Mammoth Hot Springs. Small earthquakes may keep the plumbing opened. The water comes from rain and snow falling on surrounding mountains and seeping deep into the earth where it's heated. The volcanic heat source for Mammoth Hot Springs remains somewhat of a mystery. Scientists have proposed 2 sources. The large magma chamber underlying the Yellowstone caldera, or a small heat source closer to Mammoth. For hundreds of years, Shoshone and Bannock people collected minerals from the Mammoth Hot Springs terraces for white paint. So they used all those. I mean, it looked like snow. It was all white everywhere. The earth.
Yeah.
And the travertine terraces are formed from limestone, calcium carbonate. Water rises through the limestone carrying high amounts of dissolved calcium carbonate. And at the surface, carbon dioxide is released and calcium carbonate is deposited, forming travertine, the chalky white rock of the terraces. Due to the rapid rate of deposition, these features constantly and quickly change. So
that's pretty cool. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. FYI, that is wheelchair accessible area. There's a lot of things that were good for if you were handicapped in any kind of way.
Yeah, they were
wheelchair accessible and things. I saw a lot of people getting around.
I think most of the places that had the walkways were they're very considerate about that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Where did we go from there?
That was our other big thing was the Mammoth Hot Springs, and then I think we kind of started. So the second day we decided to go the farthest to Lamar Valley without stopping at any of the places and worked our way back towards the West Gate, which was a great idea because there's nothing worse than working your way far away and then you're exhausted and you have that super long drive home, which is what we did the first day.
Yes. If the roads are closed, do that.
Yes. Go the farthest and work your way back.
The kids were a little annoyed with us because we wouldn't stop at anything. And we said, we'll hit it on the way back. Let's just get to the end of the road and then we'll work our way back. And once we did that, they understood and they got it. And it was actually a great idea. So
we came home a little bit early that day, which was around like dinner time, 6 o'clock, which we'd already been there for 10 hours. So it wasn't like we didn't spend any time in the park, but the kids were ready for just to be done with all of the nature looking things. And we walked around.
We did go in the water at one point because I was
Oh, we put our feet in the river finally because we couldn't go in the boiling river.
I wanted to see how cold it was, and it was damn cold. But there were sections that it was warm, so it's kind of cool that it's the same water flowing down this river, stream, whatever, and it's warm in one section and freezing cold in another. But we got in there, got that done, got it off my bucket list, and we moved on.
Yep. So we got back to the town of West Yellowstone, which is a really cute little town. So if you want to get like tourist souvenirs and that kind of thing, also has phone service and Wi-Fi, which, you know, is one of my creature comforts that I need, because when I'm that far away from my business, did manage to sell a couple houses that week while I was there and negotiate contracts, but it's difficult for me when I don't have Wi-Fi. So I get a little bit like a rat in a cage when I don't have my Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so you want to steer clear of Lisa when there's no Wi-Fi.
Well, because I want to make sure I can take care of my clients, and I have an amazing team. So I let them know first thing in the morning, like, hey, I'm going to be out for like 8 hours and not have Wi-Fi, and they did a great job managing everything
yes,
for me.
They took care of business while you were gone.
But let's just talk about the pizza place. We went to Wild West Pizza for dinner.
Wild West Pizza.
You know when you're like craving something for dinner, like, oh, I want some pizza. That sounds good. Like, we wanted just like comfort food. We had walked like 20,000 steps that day again, and we were exhausted, and it was kind of cold out, and we were just like, a good pizza would be good.
Yes.
This was like, I don't know if it was because we were just had been walking and were so tired and hungry, but I really truly believe that it would be good pizza any day. It was one of the best pizzas I've ever had.
I grew up in New York. I'm a pizza connoisseur, and that was damn good pizza. All the flavors were there. Everything, the dough was excellent.
It was like fluffy kind of crust. It wasn't a thick crust, but it wasn't like a thin, like a New York crust. It had like air in it, and it was really tasty. And the red sauce had, it was a little bit spicy and a lot of garlic in it. And then cheese, it was like a foot long cheese stretch, you know, like really cheesy.
The red sauce reminded me of New York. The cheese was awesome. Lots of cheese. There's some pizza places that skimp on the cheese. I hate that. This pizza was cheesy. The sauce was very good. And all the toppings. They had every topping you can imagine. And then some.
Yeah.
Didn't they have like bison? And
I can't even remember.
They had
everything. Didn't have that. We had a lot of toppings. But it was fabulous. And the cheese breadsticks were really good. And they had cocktails there, and I needed a cocktail at that point.
Yes, and the
everything
service
was great.
Service was fantastic. Our waitress was awesome. She was on point. And
yeah.
Man, I think we kind of overstuffed ourselves.
So I'm just going to highly recommend Wild West Pizza in West Yellowstone as a stop for you, your family, or even if you're without kids. They have a bar section that you have to be 21 or over to go in. You can eat pizza in there. So.
And they did do COVID spacing.
Yeah, yeah. Everywhere we went in Yellowstone, everybody had their masks on when you got out of the car. And let's just say that 600-foot hike with the dang masks on, that did kind of suck. I'm just going to say it.
I didn't have mine on.
Yes, we had our masks on because people kept coming by.
Oh, for the waterfall?
Yes.
Oh, for the waterfall.
Everywhere
yes.
We
yeah,
walked
that's right.
In Yellowstone,
that's right.
We had our masks on. Just kind of weird being outside in the wilderness, and then you're like walking around with a mask on. But people were very, very social distanced, and sometimes you'd be on like a boardwalk, and people would have their mask, and you'd both be like, "Oh no, let us all stand far away from each other." And you know, people were.
Don't get me started on
that. I know. But anyways, at least we got to see it and things were opening back up. But
yeah, and West Yellowstone is, like Lisa said, a very cute little town. It looks like an old cowboy town. Gift shops everywhere. Good food. Lots of restaurants. We just decided to go with Wild West Pizza. And then after we stuffed ourselves with pizza, we still managed to have room for dessert. I don't know how, but we always find a little space for the Häagen-Dazs ice cream that we had.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Did I mention that we walked 20,000 steps a day?
Yeah. Well, we voided all that out
I'm
that night.
I'm pretty sure we voided out all the steps that we walked that day. So anyways, that was our trip to Yellowstone. We had a great time, and we then the next morning headed out to towards Seattle, which we'll talk about in our next podcast, which is all around the Seattle area, and whale watching and some other great things on our itinerary.
So. Yes, so stay tuned for that one.
So tune in next week for Seattle, maybe even before that.
Yeah, I think we
we're going to have to start knocking these out faster. We've been seeing so many places, and we've got Oregon on the map next. And then we're going to the Redwood Forest. Who knows where else? So stay tuned. Follow us on our many travels across the country.
Yes, thanks for listening. Take care.
Have a good one.
Thanks for joining us today on Our View Podcast. If you would like to hear more, don't forget to hit that subscribe and follow button and share this with your family and friends. You can send a direct message. Just visit www.ourviewpodcast.com or follow us on Instagram at Our View Podcast. That's the letter R, View Podcast.